Let us pray. Father in heaven, as we come today to your holy word, to James chapter 2, we come to a most important topic, Heavenly Father, so that we have a right understanding of faith and of works, not confusing them in any way. May you fill us with your Holy Spirit, grant us a right understanding, and any wrong understanding that we might be clinging to, help us to let that go and know that your word is true exactly as it says it, not according to our own sometimes twisted understanding. We pray for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, last week, God, through James, laid out this parallel. You can see it there in your worship folder. He showed us that faith without works is dead, and in parallel to that, words without actions are useless. We saw the situation in the sermon where we had a person who was naked, and if someone came to that person who was naked and said, "Be warmed," would those words do anything? They would do nothing at all. So God wants us to know that the right words are completely useless without the right accompanying actions. Today, God calls us to see something similar. He wants us to see the proper relationship between our faith and our works. First of all, we should never add them together, but neither should we separate them from each other. Doesn't that seem confusing? We should not add them, but we should not separate them. So, what is the proper relationship then? Our works never save, but they reveal our saving faith. You're going to hear that topic a number of times here as I go through the sermon. I have what I think is a very important quote. I put it right in the worship folder so you can follow along with me, but notice what it says there. The quote is right from the Lutheran Study Bible. It says, "James did not believe that we earn the forgiveness of sins by good works." Some people get that idea about James. It simply isn't true, by no means. It goes on to say, after all, he is talking about the works of those who have been justified, who have received forgiveness of sins. So the salvation part is already taken care of. Then he goes on and says, the study Bible says something kind of harsh, but we should see it how sometimes it is true. James criticized lazy and secure minds that imagine they have faith, although they do not have it. In some cases, that's true at least for some. It was true for me a long time ago. So God wants to catch the attention of people like that too. He loves everyone. He wants everyone to know the truth and be set free. And then it goes on to say, James made a distinction between dead and living faith. James did not describe the way of justification, in other words, how we are just and right before God, but only the nature of the just after they have already been justified. James praises works, praises only works produced by faith. I would encourage you to read that over again on your own and think about the implications of it. But this whole faith and works thing, I think that topic is probably the topic that is most confused in the entire world. Now, we live in a world today where we have about 10 major religions in the world. I believe that Christianity is the only true religion. It is the first religion, and every other religion is a perversion of that. So Christianity says we are saved by faith alone, not by anything we do. You look at every other religion of the world, and they would say the way to get to someplace wonderful is by what you do. You better do it long enough and good enough, and maybe you'll make it. Christianity is completely different. But God wants us to know, too, that even within Christianity, there's a whole bunch of confusion about faith and works. Even within the Lutheran Church, I believe we have a significant amount of confusion because when we take a look at, for example, with the three-year lectionary, most of this section on James does not even come up in the lectionary. There is not a single hymn in our hymnal that is based on this section of Scripture. We kind of tend to ignore it as Lutherans. Not a good thing. This is super important. We're not saying that we are saved by our works, but we need to know the right distinction between our faith and our works. Let me go on to point number one. The question is, can we show our faith apart from our works? Well, to answer the question, we can't. And why can't we? Why can't we show our faith? Because faith is invisible. How can we show something to someone which is invisible? We can't do it. James said in verse 18, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from the works, and I will show you my faith from my works. So since faith is invisible, it cannot be shown, but works which reveal our faith can be shown. Again, we have a note here from the Lutheran Study Bible. It says, one cannot have right faith without the response of right works, nor can one do good works without faith. So it's kind of getting at both sides of the issue a little bit. Like it says in Hebrews 11:6, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. So we have to have the faith so that the works can flow from that faith in order to reveal the faith. I'm going to come back and touch on 18 a little bit when I get over to verse 20. But let's go on to part two here. I say in part two, there's a huge difference between knowledge and trust. We're going to come to verse 19 here in a moment about the holy angels, not the holy angels, but the evil angels, having knowledge or having belief. But when we think about the holy angels who rebelled against God and became the demons or the unholy angels, they are extremely knowledgeable about the things of God. So let's keep that in mind. They are extremely knowledgeable. However, even with their vast knowledge, does that help them any? By no means. So when people have great knowledge, even about the Word of God, knowledge alone is not going to help them when it comes to eternity. God wants us to understand that reality. Verse 19, you believe that God is one. In other words, you believe that God is God, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Now, gaining more and more knowledge is usually a positive thing, but if the knowledge is not coupled with true faith in Christ as Savior, then the knowledge really is meaningless. The Lord wants to work through His Word of Truth to make us knowledgeable about our sin. He wants to make us knowledgeable about His gift of salvation, and then He wants to give us that gift of faith or trust or confidence by which we embrace Christ alone as our Savior. The demons have knowledge, but they have no faith, so the Bible says that they shudder. What is this idea about them shuddering? Shuddering is the involuntary reaction of the body in shaking, as in a fever, and is frequently used for reactions of fear. Think about the unholy angels, knowing what they know about the Almighty God, knowing that there is no possible way for them to receive forgiveness, knowing the horrible eternity that is coming, that they should be shuddering. They should be shaking with fear, knowing what is coming. And we have something similar referring to human beings if you look at Hebrews chapter 10 in verses 26 to 31. It's also the situation where, I mean, God doesn't want anyone to be with the evil angels. God has made heaven for us. God has made the way for everyone through Jesus. But if we end up going our own way and doing our own thing, then we automatically default to being with them forever. God doesn't want that for anybody. In the third part, faith and works work together. That's what James is trying to demonstrate here in this section of Scripture. Remember, we never add faith and works together for our salvation. Instead, Martin Luther made this comment that I read last week. We are saved by faith alone, but the faith that saves is never alone. In letter A here of part 3, we come to a challenge from James. He writes in verse 20, "But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, literally, O senseless man, that faith, apart from works, is useless?" As faith apart from works does not help the demons, so neither will it help us. God wants us to understand that that is true. We shouldn't say, well, it didn't work for them, but maybe it'll work for us. We should know that it simply won't. They have all kinds of knowledge. It doesn't help them at all. We can have all kinds of knowledge. That's not going to help us at all either. And then in letter B, we have this example from James. I think maybe this is the most important part of this sermon. But I want to point out here that I've included some words in the text. And normally we would never, ever want to include any words as part of the text that are not already part of the text. But I think this is legitimate, and I think by doing this, it gives far greater understanding to this whole confusing section of faith and works here in James. Let me read verse 21, and then I'll explain a little bit further. In 21, it says, "Was not Abraham our father justified from works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar?" When you read it like that, it kind of sounds like he had faith, and then he somehow had to do the works, and those were almost like added to the faith, and somehow that justified him. But that's not the idea there at all. So I'm adding in the words. You can see I put them in the bulletin, and I read it like this. "Was not Abraham our father shown to be justified from works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar?" So it's not that the works justified him, but they showed the reality that he is justified by faith. Now, why might we consider it feasible to add in those words? Go back to verse 18 for a moment, and you can see that the whole context here is kind of like a show-and-tell event, if you will. Notice what James says again partway through verse 18. He says, "You have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith apart from the works, and I will show you my faith by my works." So the whole idea is showing the reality of the faith. So how is Abraham's faith shown or demonstrated or expressed? This was shown or demonstrated or expressed by his works. Let's go a little further here. Going to verse 22, it says, "You see that faith was working together with his works, and from the works, the faith was perfected." In other words, the faith was shown to be complete. Verse 23, "And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God." An important thing to see here now is we're going to look at something in Genesis chapter 15 and then something else in Genesis chapter 22. So which comes first? Is it 15 or 22? Okay, so we know that 15 comes before 22. Keep that in mind. Now, we have the quote here right from James from chapter 15, verse 6, where it says, "Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness." So in chapter 15 of Genesis, it's talking about Abraham believing God or having faith or confidence or trust in God. And on the basis of that faith alone, what was true? God looked at Abraham and he reckoned him, he accounted him, he considered him, he declared him to be right in God's eyes because of the faith that he had in God's promises. So right then and there in chapter 15, God is saying, "Abraham, you are righteous, you are my forgiven child, you're on your way to heaven." And then when we go to chapter 22, we see that the righteousness which Abraham already possessed was shown to be real when he offered his son Isaac on the altar. So he already had it in chapter 15, but now he shows it to be real in chapter 22 with this extraordinary thing. I mean, a crazy thing of God saying, take your son, your only son, go to that particular mountain, bind him on the altar, put him to death. I mean, but Abraham did not hesitate. He went all the way through with it, and it was when he had the knife in the air, ready to come down and strike his son, that right then, that's when the Lord stopped him. But that demonstration was showing how back in chapter 15, truly, he had a relationship with God by grace through faith, and that was demonstrated then in chapter 22. God wants us to see that connection. So his action was not added to his faith, but his action revealed his faith. Does that make sense? I want to read some quotes here from Luke Timothy Johnson. Dr. Kloa recommended this commentary when I had him for a course on James, and I want to read four quotes here from Luke Timothy Johnson on this topic. First of all, he writes, faith makes possible the deeds, and the deeds bring the faith to its mature expression. He also writes, James sees the offering of Isaac as the demonstration of his faith. You have to give these some further thought sometimes. Two more here. Didn't have room to put them in the sermon. He writes, even though Isaac was a gift from God, he was now Abraham's possession. I mean, think about it. God promised him. Abraham waited all that time. Finally, he has him. And now Isaac belongs to Abraham in a sense, if you will. Then he writes, thinking in worldly terms then, killing his son when he had no human hope for another was foolishness. Again, you have to think that through as to what God was asking him to do after he had waited all that time, and now God is asking him to do like the craziest thing that we can imagine. But Abraham did not hesitate. One more quote here. It says, Abraham's willingness to give back to God what God had given demonstrated and perfected his faith. So it's not like the good thing, the amazing thing he did, that wasn't adding to his faith. That was simply revealing, demonstrating, showing the reality of his faith. People make a lot of claims in the world, but if they don't back them up, then, well, it's not a good situation. Let me conclude like this. In verse 24, it says, you see that a man is... Well, again, I've added the word shown to be. Again, they're very key here in this verse. If I read it without it, it says this. You see that a man is justified from works and not from faith alone. It kind of sounds like, oh, that must mean I have to somehow add my works onto my faith. But when we understand the broad context and this shown to be idea, I feel confident that that is the proper way to look at this section of Scripture. It goes like this. You see that a man is shown to be justified from works and not from faith alone. So the works are not justifying him, but they are showing him to be justified. They are pointing to the reality of his faith. Complete this sentence. Actions speak. Okay, we know that. We also know that if someone says something, in other words, if they promise to do something, but they do not do it, we might put them in the category of being a hypocrite. We know that it's important that when we say it, it's important to follow it up with action. That's what we're talking about here, in a sense, in James. Therefore, by faith alone we are saved, but our saving faith is never alone because it is constantly being revealed from our works. Well, let's go on to our section here where we remember and apply God's word. So, question number one, can we show our faith apart from our works? So the answer is no. And why is the answer no? Because our faith is... it's invisible. So if something's invisible, we just can't show it. It's impossible. Number two, what is the difference between knowledge and trust? So when we think about the demons, they had knowledge, but for those who are in Christ, they have trust. So we could maybe to put it like this and say that knowledge would be information, if you will. So the demons had a lot of information about the Almighty God. They know a lot more than we do. So they have all this information, but God has given us not only information, but because of the information God has given us that we are sinners and that Jesus is the only Savior of the world, we not only have that information, but now God has given us a gift of faith and confidence and trust by which we cling to Him alone. We know that nothing good that we do is ever going to get us into heaven. We know that He is God. We know that He did it all. So we have this wonderful gift of faith. So there's a huge difference between mere knowledge and trust in the Savior. Don't be like I was years ago. Years ago, I had faith, but I had faith in Jesus to help me with my job, to protect me on a trip, to heal me when I was sick. But I did not have faith in Him to get me into heaven. I thought my own goodness would get me into heaven. The most important way to have faith in Jesus Christ is for our entrance into heaven, for our righteousness in God's sight. And then really it's best if we trust in Him for everything. Nothing should be left out. But most important, though, to know that we are sinners and we cannot be with God apart from Jesus Christ, so we rejoice that we have that gift of faith in Him. As our bodies are constantly revealing that we are physically alive, we talked about that last week, so may our works constantly reveal that we are spiritually alive through our faith alone in Jesus, whose holy precious blood has purified us from all of our sins. I invite you to join with me in praying the prayer in the worship folder. Let us pray. Dear Father, thank you for sending your Son. Dear Jesus, thank you for taking away my sins. Dear Holy Spirit, thank you for the gift of saving faith. Amen.